The Nova Scotia SPCA is more than shelters. In this episode, we're going to be chatting about two of our programs that help Nova Scotian pet families. Welcome back to the podcast. I am Sarah Lyon, your host today, and I am sitting down with Heather Wooden, Chief of Animal Operations at the Nova Scotia SPCA. This is part two of our podcast about the programs that we offer at the Nova Scotia SPCA. So if you didn't hear part one, where we talked about Pet Pantry and the PUP program, make sure that after you listen to this one and share it with your friends and like it and rate it, that you go and you listen to part one. It'll be linked in the description of the podcast. Welcome back, Heather.
Thanks for having me again.
Now, you have been on this podcast before. We've played the game of fetch, but what pets do you currently have?
Currently, I have a very spicy cat and I have three ferrets.
Talk to me about three ferrets.
Yes, they are a very interesting pet, a very high maintenance, but you can describe them sort of as all the funness of having a kitten and very short energy bursts. They love to play. You know, they don't make a lot of verbal noises, but when they do, it is very adorable. But they love their toys and they love to burrow and sleep and all sorts of weird and wonderful places.
And did you adopt the ferrets through the SPCA?
Yes, all my ferrets have come through the SPCA. They're sort of just a mix of palliative care with various illnesses and ailments, because ferrets are quite prone at an early age to some various illnesses and diseases. So I have a whole host of medical challenges, but they enjoy the time that they have.
So we would consider a ferret a pocket critter. And when we talk about Nova Scotians, you know, 60% of Nova Scotians have pets. A lot of them have two pets, mostly cats and dogs. But here we are talking about critters. And so when we talk about our programs are available to all animals that need our help and pet families that need our help. So today we're going to talk about palliative and paws and support. And I'm going to start with paws and support. And, you know, listeners, there might be a bit of a trigger warning here that we do talk about intimate partner violence. This program gets me very emotional. I'm so proud of all of our programs, but I think this one, especially with the amount of intimate partner violence that we're hearing about. It's always been there, but we're hearing about it more, that this program always gets me emotional. So can you please explain the PAWS and support program?
Absolutely. So we started the PAWS and support program back in 2019 after hearing some really heartbreaking stories of people calling to surrender their pets because of the situations that they were experiencing. And as we all know how important pets are to families, especially when you're going through a crisis situation where many things in your life may be undergoing an immense amount of change. Knowing that you can reunite with your pet can be an immense comfort to people. So the PAWS and support program happens when a person is no longer able to care for their pet due to a temporary immediate crisis situation. It could be a sudden, unexpected short-term hospital stay, or it can be a result of leaving a situation of intimate partner violence. These situations, you may not always have time to plan ahead. They can be last minute and sudden. So we have designed this program to be available to people, you know, at a moment's notice, if they need an option for us to temporarily care for their pet while they are getting the supports that they need to get into an improved situation, whatever that may be, or to recover from that short-term hospitalization stay.
We have had Sue from Humane Canada on the podcast in a previous episode that people can go back to listen to, talking about the correlation between intimate partner violence and pets. Coercive control, there's a bill that has been passed, I believe, in Canada around coercive control that includes the pets. So what we know is that it is hard for people to flee this situation if they have pets that they don't think they can take with them, or they leave them in the home and then it's unsafe, they go back for them. So how do people get into this program? And again, just like we talked about in our last podcast, everything is judgment free. We don't need you to have to explain your stories. We are here to help keep families together. How do people get in the program?
So we work directly with caseworkers, whether that is an agency already that is supporting people that are leaving intimate partner violence, or a health authority, or anyone in the social services sector that is assisting the human side of these situations. And we partner with them to help with the pet side of the situations. As you mentioned, we do hear a lot of situations where people may not be willing to leave a situation unless they can ensure that their pet is also safe from that same situation. So it's important that, you know, we focus on caring for that animal so that the person leaving a situation can work with the other social services to work on their own personal situation and getting the supports that they need to be able to reunite with their pet on the other end of this.
It's one less thing that you have to think about. It's one less thing that you have to worry about, and your animal is safe. So where is this program held?
So the program, it is based out of our SPCA shelters, but it is essentially taking place in foster homes across Nova Scotia. So all of the pets coming into our care, they do so initially go into the shelters because these are often very sudden situations. But we immediately begin looking to our foster network to take these pets into homes. We don't want them in our shelters if they just need a temporary respite care situation. They go to live with families, and we do let the families know that this is very confidential. And it is a very important part of our foster network to know that you're helping someone that's going through a difficult situation, and that the animal has a very loving home to return to when that person is able to reunite with them.
And I think that's key, is that people know it's, you know, the pet is reunited with their family member.
Yes, yes. Over 80% of the time, the pets are able to go back home. There are some situations, mostly when it comes to, you know, the hospitalization stays where things happen and the person isn't able to be, to go back home or to be reunited. But the vast majority of pets coming through this program, they do get to be reunited. The duration is usually about 30 days, but can be between 30 and 60 days.
I think, too, this is one of those programs that people don't know about. I mean, I don't think people know a lot about our programs and that we're more than shelters. But for me personally, when I started working here, I had no clue about programs like Paws and Support. And it's definitely all of these programs. It's something that I talk about a lot when people ask me where I work. And I say, here's the programs that we do. So I'm very proud of our programs. What has been, what has been the reflection, or what have you heard from staff? Because, you know, staff and volunteers, like you said, fosters are really important in this, you know, being able to do that intake, being able to find the fosters taking this animal in. What kind of feedback have you gotten?
Well, the moments that really say it all are the reuniting moments, mm-hmm. where we get to see the family being able to pick up their pet and take their pet back home. And really the thing that you know, everyone sees is how happy that pet is. And that really makes it all worth it for everyone that's had a part in participating in this program. You know, the foster homes, you know, are always there to support should something happen in the future. You know, they have a wonderful experience. You know, it's definitely a very amazing family bonding moment for them. And it is, you know, we've heard that it is not as difficult, I guess, to bring the animal back, knowing that it's going back to the loving home and knowing that it's going back to someone that loves and cares for that pet. So it is a great way to start fostering if mm-hmm. you are worried about bring the animal back and how challenging that can be. So it has been a great way for people to really start to see if fostering is for them.
So let's talk about that for just a quick second, not to take away from the Paws and Support program, but about the importance of fosters. In, you know, if I volunteer to be a foster, which I currently am, so I do know the answer to this one, what support do we give fosters?
Yeah, so everything is covered in terms of the costs. The foster may choose to, you know, provide additional, but we have everything you may need. We have dog beds and toys, of course, the essential food, and any medical care is provided through the SPCA. So the expense to the foster can be nothing unless you choose to, you know, provide some additional things that you'd like to spoil the pet with. And your time absolutely is the most important thing that you can give. You know, there is a bit of travel getting to the SPCA for the appointments that the pet needs. But if you have the time and you may not have the financial means, fostering can be a great fit for you to have that rewarding experience.
And what animals do we see through Paws and Support? So, you know, it's people who are in crisis. What kind of animals do you see?
So mainly cats and dogs, of course, but we have had a variety of what we like to call pocket pets. So we have had some hamsters. We've also had some, you know, geckos and, you know, smaller critters like that as well. We did actually have a ferret through the program at one point as well as some companion birds were through the program. Wow. So it really is anything that Nova Scotians have as pets currently that can participate in the program.
Amazing. So what does this program, what does the Paws and Support program need to continue to help Nova Scotians in this crisis?
Well, essentially, we need financial support because we are providing the medical care to these animals, and we need foster homes. So there is no cost to the pet owner to place their pet in this program because we know they have so many other challenges that they're dealing with at the same time that, you know, we're providing the boarding and the food and all the supplies and at no cost. A lot of times these animals may not come with a lot of their own things if they've had to leave a situation. So donations of things, donations monetary, of course, for veterinary care. And foster homes are essential to us being able to offer this program. We could not have these animals in our care for, you know, 1 to 2 months if it wasn't for the foster home network that is stepping up here.
And I think also, you know, for those who work in transitional housing or social worker in hospitals, that's an also, you know, letting them know about this program.
Yes, there are so many people that support humans in their various situations and so many different agencies that we can work with to support that person and their pets to hopefully get back to the place of being able to be reunited.
So now I'm going to flip to another program. And Taylor, who was one of the original co-hosts of the podcast, has said it beautifully. And so I'm going to be paraphrasing. So Taylor, if you're listening, I'm paraphrasing. when Taylor talks, Taylor was a palliative adopter. And when Taylor talks about a palliative pet and, you know, people saying, you know, how hard it must be, you know, this ending in a way, Taylor talks about a sunset and how beautiful a sunset is and how you take the time and, you know, mm-hmm. you appreciate the time that you have with the sunset. So can you tell us about the palliative program and why it's important mm-hmm. and why we're happy to have the program?
Absolutely. So the palliative care program is for animals that have come into the SPCA's care who have some sort of illness or disease that is affecting the span of their life. We know that they don't have a long duration of time as they're dealing with this illness. Often it's not curable, maybe treatable, but it is going to progress. So we anticipate the animal will be in our care for maybe 6 months, could be a couple years. But at this point in time, they have a good quality of life with the treatments that they're receiving. You know, they are happy, they are pain-free, but they are dealing with some sort of a progressive illness. And we know that we can keep them, you know, happy and experiencing a good quality of life for a limited duration of time. And I think you really, once you know there's a limited duration of time, you want to make that time, you know, as enjoyable and as beneficial as you can. And a lot of our palliative care animals go on some really amazing adventures. Mm-hmm. We've seen some very amazing, you know, pictures and trips and stories. They really do become part of your family and part of your home, and they're part of the SPCA family as well, because we are covering those medical costs and providing the medical care they need. So even though it can be difficult to think about taking on this challenging situation, we are taking on that financial cost mm-hmm. to provide that medical care so that the foster home can focus on, you know, the experiences and the quality of life of that pet.
Why did the Nova Scotia SPCA start the palliative program?
Well, when we were looking at, you know, the pets in our care, quality of life they had, how happy and excited they were, and knowing that they had this illness, you know, that was going to be challenging to find an adopter to take on the cost as well, knowing the duration of time. This is one of the programs that really enabled us to embody the no-kill model of providing positive outcomes for as many pets as possible. This was essential to ensuring, you know, that these pets could live a happy life. It was a positive for our staff to know that they were going to experience, you know, a limited time, but a very happy experience for the limited amount of time. So for a variety of reasons, you know, it provided these pets a good outcome. It ensured that we could show our staff that these pets were going to have a happy last few months or years of their life, and it helped us accomplish our goals of more positive outcomes for pets entering our care.
So what kind of medical care, like is there top medical care reasons that animals are put into the palliative care program?
Yeah, one of the top things we see is kidney disease is a very common one. You know, diseases that cause arthritis, degenerative joint disease, early stages, of course, where they are still pain-free. And there are a variety of other unique situations, but those are fairly common because the pets are not affected greatly at this time, but we know that it is going to progress.
And what does this program need to keep running?
Well, this relies heavily on, you know, we call them adopters, but fosters at the same time, you know, because essentially you are taking on the care of this pet, but the SPCAs continue to provide the medical care for the pet. So it's sort of like we both have participation in the care of this animal, but it relies on people opening up their homes to an animal, knowing that they have medical needs, and there's typically medications that you need to give on a reliable mm-hmm. schedule, and you have to be willing and capable and committed to administering those medications. There's more frequent veterinary visits to come into our hospital network, and knowing that you want to give them and spoil them, you know, mm-hmm. for the time that they do have, and knowing that it may not be for a long duration, it's really opening your heart to giving this pet that wonderful experience.
The sunsets. Enjoying yes, exactly. the sunsets. I would also think that, you know, we talked in the last episode about Pet Pantry and the cost of groceries, pet groceries, but there's also been a cost increase in medication. Has there not?
Yes, there is always a rising cost with the food we've seen, with the medications we've seen, and many of these animals are on, you know, daily medications, but they may also be on a specialized dietary requirements, and the cost of that continues to increase. And the veterinary care, there is a real cost to us providing the mm-hmm. veterinary care as well, and scheduling those appointments, and, you know, providing the end-of-life care that these animals need as their diseases progress. Every animal in our program is on a medication of some sort, and it is typically a daily medication. So there is increased expenses to them being in our care. And sometimes, you know, it takes us a while to get these pets recovered to a point to be ready to move on to the next step of this palliative care home. So we have spent a lot of time and expense on diagnostics to understand fully, you know, what this illness is. So with that, I mean, monetary donations are essential to helping us keep this program up and running so that we can provide these diagnostics and treatments that are essential to these pets.
And I think I heard that it's almost a 30% increase in cost of medications over the past year or so.
But we have seen, you know, a lot of these medications from the suppliers, and their costs are increasing. So just the cost increases for food have been astronomical in the very restricted diets. But the costs of medications, depending on the medication, of course, in some cases we've seen medication even double, you know, for these essential life-altering medications.
So yeah, the generosity of Nova Scotians is truly important to make these programs run that we've talked about over two episodes. Heather, I want to thank you for joining us for the second part of a podcast on programs. And to our listeners, I really hope that you have learned over these two podcasts a little bit about how we are more than shelters and how you can help and that we can help you. Always please reach out and ask if you need help or how you can help. We hope that you've enjoyed these episodes about our programming. Hit the subscribe button and leave us a 5-star rating. Share this with family and friends who might not know about the programs that we offer so that we can spread the word together. Now turn up the love for your pets, and we'll see you next time on the podcast.